Daisy.
And I'm Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode 200.
200 episodes. This is amazing.
So as you might have guessed, because we always do this on these big episodes, is talk about something a bit different. And we were struggling with what to talk about the other day, chatting amongst ourselves, because we've done various things like catch-ups and things fairly recently, and neither of us have anything much to add to that. So we were discussing a few things. What can we talk about? And I can't remember how it came up in the conversation, but we thought we would talk about the fact that we often talk about similar things. We say this a lot, don't we? We say, well, we keep coming back to this same topic, or it seems like we keep coming back to this topic, or we keep coming back to similar words, like acceptance was one of the things that I thought about. And we have discussed before how it's often quite useful to come at things from slightly different perspectives, that different perspective being from a different author, a different content creator in some way, or even just when you hear pretty much the same thing at a different time, it hits you from just a slightly different direction or at the right time, you know, sort of right place, right time kind of thing. Well, I think that applies to when you're trying to make changes, when you're trying to form new habits, or when there's a new habit that you know you would like to start, but you're really struggling to do it. And you keep hearing things from different people. And then it's just that one time, whether it's that moment in time, whether it's the person who's telling you about it, whether it's the person they're talking about, telling them about it, whatever it is. But at some point, it just gels. And I also said to you that for me, and I thought we could talk a little bit about how we tick, but for me, one of the reasons why I keep coming back to certain topics, and funnily enough, I will be coming back to a very similar topic, in fact, almost the same topic next week that I talked about last time, is that it's something that's nagging at me. It's something that I feel that I need to change about myself. So I suppose those things naturally catch my eye. So this is me trying to find the right person saying it in the right way that's going to resonate with me and give me that kick up my backside that I need to actually do it. And I guess that's the thing with me. And I don't know whether maybe it's, or probably it's partly to do with, and I always come back to this, Gretchen Rubin, Four Tendencies, don't I? But I'm a questioner, I'm a researcher, and funnily enough, you were talking about this in a recent Fasting Method podcast episode that I was editing of yours. And you were saying that at some point, you've got to decide who you're going to listen to, because the thing that you were talking about, you and Nadia were discussing, how it can become really overwhelming. And we've spoken about this before, where I'll be talking about something that a topic that somebody's been talking about, and I'm trying to get my head around it. And you say to me, well, at some point, you've just got to decide who to listen to and go with that, at least for a given period of time. And you were talking about when you were studying psychology, you kind of had to do that. You had to put your flag in the, you know, in the mountain of what theory you were going to, or what sort of area of study you were going to go with, because lots of people do contradict each other. And I agree, it becomes overwhelming. And I think that's one of the downsides of being that questioner type, that you feel like you have to get all the knowledge before you can make the decision. But then what happens when everyone makes sense? What do you do? You know, how do you do that? And then you combine that with a rebel tendency where you don't like anyone, including yourself, telling you what to do. And you can see why it often takes different people saying the same thing in multiple different ways before one of them will click with me. And it might be that it also takes, also throw into the mix, it takes the right day for me to hear that, for it to actually click and for me to take action on it. So yeah, I fully put my hands up to the fact that I'm a tricky customer when it comes to trying to form these new habits, trying to make these changes, trying to do things that I know full well are good for me. And everyone makes sense, but sometimes I just have to hear it in just the right way. And I'm sure there must be some other people, maybe not necessarily quite as tricky as me, but I know there are other people out there who, yeah, who feel the same way, that they want to make some kind of change. And so we do just keep coming at things sometimes from different directions in the hope that one of those will be the one that hits where it needs to with you as well as us.
I also think that, as you highlighted, it's also, for many of us, it is about repetition. It is that the first couple of times we hear it, there's a little seed planted, but it doesn't really take yet. It doesn't start to get those little green sprouts on it. It just kind of sits there. And then we hear it a couple more times, like you said, a couple different ways, different voices or whatever. And then suddenly that little green sprout starts to come out of that seed, and now it grows and develops. And so I think one of the reasons, to me, it's important that we're talking about this, Daisy, is I know that people get frustrated with themselves when they want something different in their lives, but they aren't making the change. And I want us to talk a little bit about that today. And I feel like a little disclaimer now has been shared, that everyone now has insight into the things you and I need to work on in our lives, because that's what we keep cycling back to in our choices for episodes. So I thought that was kind of funny. This is Daisy's things she's working on. These are Terry's things she's working on. And we keep kind of going back to those. But in reality, I think they're also oftentimes things that a lot of people are working on. We are not unique in that way. When I think about my role as a therapist, I used to say this, not to people, not to minimize people, but almost all struggles people were really having could be boiled down maybe into five themes. And so my day was repetition of those themes and, you know, talking to this person about this same theme, but maybe a little differently today. And I might see that person for a couple of years, and we keep processing a couple of themes. And so repetition is not a bad thing. It's really useful for most of us and helpful. And by and large, human beings tend to struggle with similar themes. And there are not thousands of them. There are a few of them. And then they look different for each of us based on our circumstances, based on our history. And they may be brought about from different origins, but we all struggle with some pretty similar things. And so I think, again, that's why we keep hearing podcast episodes about these topics, and we keep finding articles about these, because they are that prevalent in all of us. So one of the things I wanted to talk about today, Daisy, as you and I brought this up the other day, I got kind of excited about dusting off a psychology book and going back to a theory that I think applies for most of us in this realm. And it was a theory that came out, I think, in the late 70s. It's called the trans-theoretical model. And some people might have heard of it before as the stages of change model. And it was developed by two people, Prochaska and DiClemente. And it's been taught throughout psychology and different, you know, types of disciplines. And it really tries to help us understand what happens in this change process. How come I don't just listen to that podcast and make the change tomorrow? Very few of us actually do that. Why is that? And so they broke up, and anyone knows in the field of psychology, we like having models. We like having stages to think about. And so they came up with a model that really looks at, originally, five stages of change and just steps that people go through in this process of making significant changes. And I think this really fits in lots of areas of our lives. It could be we want to change how we do our financial planning. We want to change how we do our relationship with food. We want to change how we do our spending habits or our driving habits or whatever it is. We want to move towards something that's healthier for us and better for us. Unfortunately, the first stage is called pre-contemplation. We're not even really thinking about it yet because we only see that making that change would be hard and not fun. So we don't even want to consider it. So I'm going to use my food relationship or my dietary approach as my example as I walk through this for myself. I spent years and years and years in pre-contemplation. I knew there was something wrong. I was diabetic. I was overweight. I was struggling. I was pretty miserable. And I really wasn't willing to do much about it. Every now and then I would get motivated because everyone kept saying, you know, you need to exercise more. So I would go over to the gym and I'd walk. And then I would stop that after two or three times. So I was really circling the drain of the pre-contemplation stage. And again, in this stage, mostly we see that the making the change, we know it's out there, but we don't see it as an option for us because it just seems too hard, doesn't fit for us, or it wouldn't be enjoyable. Then we move to the contemplation stage. And in this stage, we start to see things a little differently. We think, maybe there is something in this that is really important for me. And maybe even there's some possibility that I could do it without totally feeling tortured. And in their original model, they talk about timelines. Like this is the 6 months before change happens. For me, with the contemplation stage, with changing my dietary approach, I think happened pretty quickly, and I don't get a medal for that. I just think I felt prompted and I needed to act on it pretty quickly. So I was recommended from a friend to learn about the Whole 30, nothing I had heard of before. I looked it up and went and bought the book. I started reading the book and I decided the change happens Friday. And I think this was maybe on the weekend that I had decided this. So I moved myself through this stage really quickly, which might help explain some challenges down the road. But in contemplation, you start to evaluate it differently and think, maybe there really is value to this. And other people, when they talk about the change model, they talk about ambivalence. You know, that feeling of, I kind of want this, but I also want this. I know this would be good, but I don't want to have to do it. It's that, you know, the devil angel on each shoulder, kind of being caught in the middle of that. And some people talk about the idea that this is the stage, the contemplation stage is where that ambivalence is most likely to happen. Because now you know you really believe the change is important. But unfortunately, the way our brain works, we spend most of our time looking at all of the reasons it will be complicated or hard. And so, you know, one of my sayings is we can do hard things, but that often is what holds us back from making some change. That sense that, this is going to be complicated, or I'm really going to miss that old behavior. And in my food example, I'm really going to miss those foods. So contemplation stage, I think many of us find ourselves staying there for a while. We know, like sleep, another example, we read different experts on sleep and we get different opinions and we have to kind of pick one, but deciding to really take those steps and do what we've learned, that's the contemplation stage.
So is that the stage as a questioner that you could get stuck in forever? Not forever, but for a long time, because you are contemplating it seriously. So you are actually starting to seriously think that this might be something to do. And, you know, you investigate that possibility.
And my guess is for many questioners, I don't know if we could simplify it this much, but my guess is in this example, it boils down to two questions you have. What is the right way? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to research 4,000 ways until you find the right one. And or, can I find a way to do this that is least objectionable to me? Like, wow, that sounds really good, but there's no way I'm going to do that. Let me find another route. So my hunch is those are two of the big reasons why people keep researching and keep hanging out in that kind of ambivalent stage, because they're looking for either the one right answer. I want to waste my time, got to get it right. Or I don't want to do anything that I don't really want to do. So does anyone have an easier or more logical way to do this? Does that fit for you?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's also, I suppose, and that's part of where it comes, the listening to different people comes in, that is tipping that balance, where someone might not give you an easier way to do it, but they might give you a stronger reason to get mm-hmm. over the hurdles of it not being too easy or it being mm-hmm. objectionable. That's often the thing that tips you over, isn't it? There's actually mm-hmm. no change, and you haven't found an easier way to do it. There's no magic pill.
That's right.
But somebody will talk to you in such a way that your why becomes strong enough.
I like that idea, because I think for me, that was part of reading the book about the Whole 30. I felt like I had no arguments left. Like, they kind of shot through a lot of my arguments. So it's like, oh, shoot, I guess I have to start to do this. So the next stage then is preparation or determination. At this point, people are ready to start to take action within the next little time frame here. So it might be 30 days. And I often hear this in my work. People say, okay, I'm going to start fasting, or I want to start to change how I eat rather than I am doing it.
Start on Monday.
That's right. Yeah, many of us have hung out in this stage for a long time. Oftentimes during the preparation stage, people really start to make some small changes toward the behavior. They start to incorporate some different ways of thinking.
Test it out a bit.
Yeah, test it out a little bit. You know, dip their toe in that water to see, can I do some of this? Unfortunately, I think this is where some of us get stuck. We do lots of little things and never see what we're really going for, because we haven't fully taken that bigger step. Of course, then the next step is action. And in this point, people really have recently changed their behavior. They're really into the action part of it. And their intention is to keep moving forward in this behavior change. So during this time is when we start to create healthier ways of thinking, healthier patterns, healthier habits and things. So this for me was the 30 days, the whole 30 that I started. It was such a commitment, and actually such a commitment that I decided I'm doing 100 days, because I know 30 days is not going to change this. So I committed to 100 days. So it's really clear, focused forward in the change process, doing the new behaviors. And then this leads to maintenance. And for many of us, this is also a complicated stage. Not just all of these stages of change are complicated. In maintenance, this is where we have really found healthy behavior change, something that's really working for us. Usually we've been there for at least 6 months into this new pattern, and that we intend to maintain this pattern to go forward. We talk about this a lot at TFM, and for many people, it's almost the stage that they're afraid of. What will happen when I get there? I just got into this healthy change. I'm in this action, but it scares me to think of getting to that place where I've really established it, and what will I do then? So initially in the change model that Prochaska and DiClemente talked about, they had just those 5 stages. And there's been a sixth one added, and that is termination. And this basically means that in this stage, people have no desire to return to their unhealthy behavior. And I know in many of these kinds of changes, people are really looking for this to happen. I would like to never want to eat a piece of cake again. I would love for never to have a dream about spending money again, or whatever it is. One of the reasons this stage isn't often talked about is for many of these behavior changes, it doesn't really come. We have to stay in maintenance. We have to stay conscious of keeping these behaviors and not relapsing, whereas termination would mean there's no risk of relapse. And many of us know, I know this with my relationship with food, there's always potential for relapse. Even though I'm pretty far into this journey, that didn't make it go away. Made it easier, gave me a lot of tools to handle it differently, but it didn't make the desire go away completely. So oftentimes, like I said, we don't even hear people talking about the termination phase, but more staying in that maintenance phase. And then some people have actually proposed that we should consider another stage of relapse.
Well, yeah, that's, I was wondering where that came in.
Yeah, because as we make change and change our life, so to speak, there are natural reasons why old behaviors slip back in during stressful times or during tragedies or, you know, just during times of struggle. And that doesn't mean it's over. It means we have to kind of reinitiate the change process and get going again with that process. So I think for some of us, even though we don't have to always identify exactly where we are and how long we've been here, I think it's helpful to have a sense that the human brain does go through a process. We don't just hear that podcast episode and say, boom, I am doing that. I'm changing my life. But we might decide to move toward changing our life after we've heard it six times. And even then, there's going to be steps in making it happen.
I think that's really interesting. As I was listening to you talk about the different stages, I was thinking, yeah, when is this relapse bit going to come in? Because I was thinking, particularly when it comes to changing diet, how does the yo-yo dieting fit into that model? And yeah, some things you can tick that termination box. Like I can tick that box 100% with smoking, you know, and it took me two goes to give up smoking. I smoked, I gave up for, I can't remember, a couple of years, I think. And it was that typical slow relapse back in, you know, just have one when you had a few glasses of wine. And that was the only time I had it. And then it became with this and then it became that. And then it, you know, before I knew it, I was back to smoking full time again. But, you know, something changed the second time that I gave up. It was still difficult. I actually gave up for different reasons. But that has been done and dusted for so long. But I am actually to the point now where I try not to be too vocal about it. I'm one of those, you know, those ex-smokers who complains about smoking, but I find it absolutely disgusting. I find the thought of doing it myself disgusting. I find the smell of it gives me a headache. I can't bear it. I can absolutely say 100% I will never smoke again. There's no risk. You know, there's no situation I can imagine. You can throw any amount of stress at me, anything. It's just so disgusting to me. It's never going to happen. But
talk about ice cream.
Exactly. You talk about something else. But then I think even within that big or within under that big umbrella of diet, I am getting closer and closer, probably not to the termination stage, but definitely the maintenance stage with certain food items. You know, I've talked before about, and we're into that, although they're available all times of year, hot cross buns now, but they're really being pushed now because it's, you know, it's coming up to Easter. And they were one of my favorite things. And I do struggle when I walk past them, but every year it is getting a bit easier. And I don't think, I'm pretty sure I didn't have any last year. And I'm pretty confident that I won't have any this year. I did another Christmas without mince pies. Actually, I had one mouthful. So, you know, that's still the slightly fragile maintenance stage, but it gets stronger and stronger the longer it goes. But yes, I would say for pretty well all of the food items that I've struggled with, I will always be in that maintenance phase. So it's interesting, isn't it, that different things have different impacts and you can take a chunk at a time. It's not right, I am going to fix my diet, everything's going to be healthy, it's all going to work, I'm going to be able to get through to that maintenance phase. You know, it often doesn't work like that. But sometimes your whatever it is, maybe when in my case with those kind of items, the why or the consequences of what comes with that food, particularly, you know, wheat type items. And there are all sorts of things that I really like, you know, when I walk down the biscuit aisle, all sorts of things, or cookie aisle for Americans, all sorts of things. But in that particular food category, my why is mostly 99% strong enough that I don't want to have them. But yeah, other things that are not necessarily quite as problematic, I suppose, because they don't come with as many consequences, but they're still problematic and I would like to wipe them out. But those I still struggle more with at the moment. Who knows what will happen next year?
I think, you know, you just highlighted another important part of all of this for all of us, I think. And that is that maintenance does not have to look like perfection. The action stage does not have to look like perfection. And some of us keep cycling back on habit change or behavior change because we're not doing it perfectly. We think that means we're failing, and clearly we're not committed enough, or we're not strong enough, or this won't work. And so we struggle versus recognizing you're going to struggle. It's not going to be, you know, 100% of the time you do this perfectly. And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with how you're doing it. It means that this change is complicated. And I think especially the longer we've had the habit, you know, if you just started smoking last week and decided this week to give it up, yeah, heck of a lot easier process. But if you've been smoking for years, or people who had been smoking for 30 or 40 years, of course, that's going to take more. It's going to be harder. And so really, I don't mean cutting ourselves breaks as far as, oh yeah, go ahead, do that, no problem. But recognizing we're not going to be perfect in how we make changes. We're going to have some choices that don't work well. And we get feedback from that. You know, if you quit smoking and then 6 months later have a cigarette, you get feedback. Oh gosh, I felt horrible the next morning. Great. That's good information. So I hope that this episode really just kind of reminded people of where they are in how they hear what we share. And there is a reason, technically, why we keep going back. And I wouldn't say we have masterminded this plan and said, Daisy, let's talk about each topic 14 times. It's just kind of natural in how the human mind works and how our minds work, what we're seeking as well.
Yeah, and I think it's just finding things that you can put in as handholds. Mm-hmm. Coach Nadia's holding pattern comes into mind when she talks about, she has this little analogy where it's a little lemur, I think, climbing up a tree or something. And she talks about it falling down. But she says, you know, it doesn't fall all the way down to the ground. It falls down a few branches and it grabs on and then it climbs back up. So I think that's particularly relevant when it comes to diet changes and yo-yo dieting. You're not going all the way back necessarily to the beginning. You're sliding back a bit, but I think that's where it's important to get those handholds in. And that's where it's important to listen to all these different perspectives, something that you can grab hold of, and the importance of changing different things as you go. So it's not enough to just, oh, you've read about this, you know, the latest new fad diet. Anyone can do that for 2 weeks, but it's not going to grow legs, is it? It's not going to have the longevity unless you start putting some other things in place as you go. Things that we come back to, things about getting a strong why and all the rest of it. You have to put those in place as you go. It's like building these little handholds so that, mm-hmm. you know, when something does happen and you get thrown back a bit, you got something to grab hold of.
You also highlighted something just in there and earlier that I wanted to say before we go. And that is when it comes to dietary things. I know many of our listeners have done diets before and have struggled with diets. I want to be a little bit bold here and say most of those were not actually to make change. They were to make change in our weight. We wanted to lose weight, but we didn't want to change our life. Mm. We wanted to do something short term. Mm-hmm. We wanted to find the workaround about our weight. And that's one of the reasons I don't even think this model that I just shared really even fits that, because there was no intention of staying with that.
Right. So you're almost not moving out of that contemplation preparation stage, really. You're not, mm-hmm. you're not even really getting to the action stage. Not really.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, there you go. Happy 200th episode.
Who would have thunk it, as my mom would say. Yes. You know, Daisy, back when you asked me, Terry, I think we should do a podcast. I'm like, no, I can't do a podcast. And here we are at episode 200. So bravo.
Definitely. Well, until next week, when I will be coming back to you with a repeated topic, almost. I hope you have a very wonderful week.
Take good care, everyone.